This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
Updating dietary guidelines for all Americans. Our topic today with Alan Birga, Executive VP of Communications and Industry Relations with the National Milk Producers Federation. Alan, thanks for joining us. We've discussed in the past the important evolving role of dairy in the new dietary guidelines. These guidelines are updated every 5 years.
Dietary guidelines come every 5 years. They've been coming since 1980, and they evolve slowly over time, but they are the bedrock of federal food aid programs and nutrition programs. You know, we're talking about things that are supported under the SNAP program. We're talking about school breakfasts and school lunches. It's really an important guide, not only to the nutrition of all Americans, but frankly, to the nutritional habits Americans form because they're so influential in school meals.
And so National Milk has turned to the scientific experts who continue to come up with new insights relating to dairy in our diet?
Well, you really need to, because even though the guidelines themselves move slowly, the science does evolve. And, you know, we've seen some really exciting things on the science in the last few years in terms of, you know, the value of the specific sort of fats that come from dairy in terms of being able to be part of a nutritious dietary pattern. We think that's really eye-opening in terms of the value of whole milk in diets. There's been sort of an anti-fat tendency in guidelines for several iterations, and you see some evolution that goes a different direction in that. So those are all exciting things in the guidelines and things about the guidelines that give us hope.
We hear from some that say they cannot have dairy because of the lactose, and maybe they're not seeing some of the low lactose and lactose-free dairy products that are available out there as the dairy industry tries to include everyone's diet.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because you have this evolution sort of to some of the traditional dairy values, and then you have what dairy can contribute in the future. And in a way, the dietary guidelines are almost a semi-cultural document because they kind of tell you what you value. And part of what you're seeing in this iteration is a look at some social equity concerns. You know, the idea that we need dairy products that fit all people. And the unfortunate thing is that when you hear this debate, sometimes people who are sort of the usual suspects in opposing dairy are latching onto these arguments and they're taking a look at the phenomenon of lactose intolerance. And they're trying to tell people, see, some people can't tolerate dairy, and so you shouldn't have as much dairy in your diet. But frankly, that's a lie. Dairy has plentiful low lactose, no lactose options that can serve all consumers. And they can serve all consumers just as well across the board, which to me is the most equitable solution of all. You know, you take a look at the growing popularity of lactose-free milk. You take a look at the awareness of low lactose products like cheddar, Colby, Monterey Jack, other types of cheese. These are things that all consumers can benefit from. You know, look at the increased consumption of yogurt or even more niche products like kefir. Dairy has a product that is equitable for all and has 13 essential nutrients of products that, by the way, the last dietary guideline said 89% of Americans don't have enough dairy. So this is also kind of along with this evolution of this awareness of what dairy has had all along, there's also this understanding of what dairy has that deals with these rising concerns societally. It makes the dietary guidelines an exciting opportunity for dairy, but it also creates some risk because this is a frontier that is being defined right now, and we can't let it be defined by our critics.
That's a good point. When we say lactose-free, many think that's not dairy, but it is included, or in this case, lactose excluded from dairy.
It's increasingly dairy, too. You take a look at the way dairy plants are set up these days. You know, some of the extra processes that you needed to make lactose-free milk were kind of reverse engineered from a traditional plant. The new plants don't work that way. And so that reduces some of your costs and some of your inefficiencies. It makes it easier to provide. We're seeing pilot projects with schools where we find that folks who normally wouldn't want to have a dairy product because of perceived lactose intolerance, they're drinking it and they like it. And by the way, we did a big survey earlier this year with the International Dairy Foods Association. It was with the International Food Information Council. You know, diverse populations in the U.S., more than half of the people who fall into those racial ethnic categories have not even tried lactose-free milk. That's a consumer lack of awareness that we as an industry really have to work on to know that these products are out there. They're high-quality products. They give you the same dairy quality as any other dairy product. And we have to get that to consumers because that's the evolving marketplace. Those are the evolving cultural concerns. That's the future of things like the dietary guidelines, and dairy is well prepared to meet it if we get out there, get the message out, and get to work.
Thanks for the time today, Alan. Alan Biriga, Executive VP of Communications and Industry Relations with the National Milk Producers Federation. For more, go to their website, nmpf.org.